Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 162 of Star Wars and Scotch. Jeez. It's Tim, it's Kevin, we're here. Tim is
finally made it back. Hey.
Arrived back from his European, said vacation, but it was not a vacation.
It was not a vacation.
It was work.
No. No, it was all work. People were like, did you get to see anything? I was like,
the inside of a building.
The inside of a building, and I got to look at Stockholm through windows, so it was cool.
All right, tell us all of the NDA details of why you were there.
Well, Kevin, you see, we had a great time, so yeah.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I had COVID.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, my son brought it home from school, so I had COVID all of last week.
No. You didn't say that. I didn't know.
I was. You were also in Sweden. I wasn't trying to bother you.
Jeez. Well, I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I feel fine. I haven't been able to work out. That's my only complaint. But
sucks.
Yes. But yeah, I had COVID last week. I tried to record the episode by myself, and I got about 6 minutes in, and I was like, "This is crap. I'm not doing this."
Yeah, I texted Kevin, and I was like, "How'd it go?" He was like, I deleted it. Yeah, no. It's like, oh, okay.
No, it was terrible. There was too many breaks, right. And I was basically just recapping the episode, and I was like, nobody wants to hear this. We'll just talk about it next week. It was
fair. It was a good episode.
Yeah, I mean, they're towing the line of filler at this point, and I feel like we'll get into it. But they're also putting meaningful content into it, so you can't really straight up call it a filler.
Both episodes. So this episode today and last week's, I was like, man, I really want to call it a filler, but it's not.
It's not, because there is just meaningful
stuff.
You're
right, they're tiptoeing on it.
And we got a snow halude this week.
A what?
A snow halude.
What is that?
A gigantic snow worm thing.
Oh yeah, the worm. Okay, I was like, what happened when I was gone? It snowed.
But did
okay,
they? Did it. They?
Yeah.
Purposefully release this episode the week after
with
Dune?
Yeah, I thought that was odd. I was like, as soon as the markers went down, I was like, there's gonna be a worm.
Oh, that was like straight up. Dave's.
It was so Dune. It was so Dune-esque. It was just like, what is going on here?
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was great.
That was Dave's huge homage to Dune. Like, come on,
very much so. Very, very much so.
I know that was purposeful. But yep. It was fun. But we'll get into that. We have some funny stuff that happened in Star Wars this week, as well as finishing Dark Disciple. But before we go any further, we do want to make sure that you're drinking that King's Coast coffee.
You better be.
I did just get a message this morning from I've joined the advisory board of Heart Support. If you don't know who Heart Support is, basically they're in the metal world mainly, but they do stuff in gaming as well. So they brought me on their advisory board to help them with the gaming side of stuff and fundraising in mm-hmm. general. One of the folks who run the show over there. Ordered some, and he messaged me at like 5:30 this morning. He's like, dude, this coffee is ridiculous. I'm drinking that Winter Wave. So
good. See, you guys could also be enjoying the phenomenal coffee that will ruin all other coffee for you. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Winter Waves is going to be heading out the door, but Spring Surge will be finding its way to your cupboards very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to stay tuned for that. We've also got a very fun St. Patrick's Day roast that we'll be dropping as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you like the... You want to put a little bit of Irish in your cup, head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and get yours today.
It says sold out. Isn't it available on Friday? Yeah, no.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's, yeah, usually we'll put it up there and it says sold out, but it just...
No, when you click into it, it has the countdown on it. I was confused for a second. I was like, wait, was that last Friday? And I was like, no, it's this Friday. We just talked about it on Monday. The Irish Whiskey Barrel Aged Central American Coffee comes out on Friday at noon Eastern, kingscoastcoffee.com. It will sell out. I'll tell you that much.
It will. It will definitely sell out.
This stuff never lasts.
Hear about it. I'd be like,
oh man, what happened?
We told you. We told you on Star Wars and Scotch. So
yes, and Wayne. There you go. Wayne showed me a video of it, the barrels yesterday. So get your Jameson Irish. It's, I guess, Irish whiskey. We'll say barrel aged.
Yeah, just leave it at that. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of something fun to say with leprechauns or something, but
just put a little bit of a little Irish in your cup. Little Irishman.
And for my
Mr. Gibbon.
For my Boston. For my, I really hope he comes back to GCX. My God, what a,
he wants. Yeah, I know. I think we got him.
What a good time. Speaking of GCX, we can move on to
163
that.
164 days.
Sounds about
someone,
right.
Someone famous posted a tweet, you know, the Wolverine were like, he's holding like the picture frame and his hands on it. Like I miss this. And he's like, only 164 days. And that was yesterday. So
make sure you get your tickets, cause they only go up in price from here. So, this is the lowest they will be. You missed the lowest they will be, which was Black Friday. But this is the lowest they will be for the rest of the year. So get those tickets. The creators are going to start announcing that they're coming. We are in proposal hell right now with folks who are trying to get populate the floor. The artist alley is almost full.
Sick.
So I got that message from Shane on Monday that I think almost everyone is coming back from Artist Alley with new art to show you all. So Artist Alley is full. Tabletop Tavern will return. Hopefully we're hoping there's some Lorcana, some Magic, maybe some Star Wars Unlimited there. It's getting so much. It's getting crazy out there.
Yeah, so if you want to bring something to the table for GCX, head on to GCXevent.com. If you're a vendor, if you want to run a panel, there's lots of opportunities for you to get involved at GCX. So head on over to GCXevent.com and learn more today. Get your tickets. Don't be the guy at the door. I mean, you can beat the guy at the door, but don't be the guy at the door.
Have your
tickets ready.
Don't be the person trying to stay at Rosen that night.
Yeah. Just get your shit in order. All right.
That was
hilarious. We want to see you.
That was hysterical. Because keep in mind, even though we have a hotel block, it doesn't. And Rosen's nice and keeps the pricing past the date that we're supposed to have it, which is a month before. They're nice, so they do this for us. But this year, once the date passed, the hotel sold out 3 days later.
Yeah.
So don't. Be that person that waits until the last minute. You don't even have to pay for your reservation right now. You can book the room today. They take your credit card, and I think you can cancel up to a week before. So if it makes more sense for you to... Well, actually, can't book the room today because the room block's not out yet. It'll be out in a week or two, but...
Soon.
That would have been funny. They would have gotten inundated with calls and been like, Kevin, did you say the room block? Nope, never said it. Don't know what you're talking about. GCXevent.com. That happened 1 year. We accidentally said it on a stream that it was available, and then the hotel got blasted and they were like, it's not out yet.
Sorry.
Anywho. So, should we start with the hilarious meme?
Yeah. You like your memes and you were very excited to talk about this. So why don't you talk about
this? This is all over. It just popped up. So back in 2003, when they were airing the trilogy, the Star Wars trilogy on, in Chile, they didn't want to cut away from the movie, so they found interesting ways to basically shoot commercials into the Star Wars universe and then weave them into the movie. So, for instance, if you Google Cerveza Cristal Star Wars, this is all coming from the Forbes article that I pulled these from. But essentially, the scene with where Luke and Obi-Wan are talking about the Clone Wars in A New Hope. There's a scene part where it appears that Obi-Wan's going to like walk across the room and reach for something. And it cuts and it's his hand, not really, but what it appears to be his hand reaching into a space sized cooler and pulling out an ice cold, delicious Cerveza Cristal.
Yeah, it's the exact moment is when he's getting Anakin's lightsaber and giving it to Luke. So he's like, your father wanted you to have this. And instead of a lightsaber, he pulls out a cold beer. Like, it's so good. It was, and honest to God, I thought this was a meme. I thought people were just memeing on this, because then I started, there was a person on Twitter that then started creating a thread of all of the moments of this Cerveza Cristal that was popping up. And like the one where there was a really good one where it's Empire Strikes Back. It's Luke training with Yoda. And it's when Yoda's on his back and he lets Yoda off his back and he walks over to the X-Wing. It's when he was going to start raising the X-Wing up, but instead he just grabs a Cristal Cerveza out of a tree. Like, it's just a bunch of silly things where it's just like, that could actually have worked.
Palpatine's
very,
great.
Very well.
In,
what happens in Palpatine?
In Return of the Jedi, in the last scene with him, he's sitting on his throne, and there's a part where he just reaches his hand out, and the beer just comes up from the bottom of the frame into his hand. It's amazing, honestly.
It's really smart marketing, not gonna lie. It's really well done.
Yeah, this is more effective than cutting to commercial, in my opinion. You know, marketers take notice. If there's ways, I could see this something similar happening during the Super Bowl, where it feels like it's a seamless cut from the game next year.
Oh my God, yeah, and you just like cut to a crowd shot, and it's just a commercial.
I mean, they've done that, like they did that with Bud Light this year with the with the folks from the commercial in the game. But I'm thinking something a bit more seamless.
Sure.
So that's kind of where my head is at with that. I don't know. It was genius, dude. Genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now there's no way in hell that the mouse would let that happen.
No.
But back before the Disney purchase, it was free game.
But yeah, so it's I don't know. It's very funny and amusing. I giggle every time I see it. I know
you love your memes. What can we say?
I know I'm a gigantic child, but I giggle every time.
You are
I see
a gigantic
it.
Child. So. Speaking of being a gigantic child, Star Wars Unlimited is coming out on Friday. So for all of you that are also into cardboard crack and are reliving your early years of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, but are now spending adult money on like Magic the Gathering or Lorcana or other TCGs, Star Wars Unlimited is coming out. And my buddy Steve showed me there's a way for you to play Star Wars Unlimited online currently, which is really cool. It's against AI. The website is, let me pull it up real quick. I sent it to Kevin. It is called the Force. It's called forcetable.net, www.forcetable.net/SWU. We'll have that link in the show notes for you. But currently you can play quick play. You can create your own deck. So if you have like your own deck that you've made from packs, from pulling packs, or you buying singles, or you just want to try out the starter decks, you can get the Luke starter deck or the Darth Vader starter deck, and you can play that against AI. It doesn't hold your hand. It assumes that you know everything about Star Wars Unlimited. It understands the things that you understand, the rules and all that. So just keep that in mind when you go into play Star Wars Online or Star Wars Unlimited online. But it's a great tool. It's really cool. So you can kind of get your feet wet if you want to try out Star Wars Unlimited and see if that's a TCG for you, which is great. But that comes out on Friday. There was pre-release events that are going on at your LGS. So make sure to check that out as well. This isn't an ad. I wish it was. But hey, if there's anyone from Star Wars Unlimited, you know, that are, you know, paying attention, Kevin and I would love to talk more about your Star Wars card game. So, you know, hey, you know, if anybody wants to like tweet at, you know, Star Wars Unlimited for us as well, be like, hey, you should be giving these guys cards.
I hope I didn't.
We'd love that.
I hope I didn't get the folks at the TCG, or I should say the folks that make the game in trouble, because I was talking to someone about GCX stuff, and they're connected with Disney, and they were like, "Oh, I told them about Star Wars and Scotch," and I said, "Oh, you should tell them that they've ignored our requests to get involved with their TCG game." And I see these podcasters with much smaller followings than Tim getting copies of the game. So I'm just curious, like, why are we being ignored? And he was laughing. He's like, I'm going to bring that up next week. So I really hope I didn't get anyone in trouble. But
No. That's how that shit should be. It's so wild.
Sorry,
not
sorry.
No. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, so I'm intrigued. I'll probably end up getting a starter deck. I'll probably pick up the two, just like have them.
We should go hunt it down on Friday.
Yeah, then we'll here's the thing. is Friday's nuts for any TCG fans. If you're into Magic, if you're into Arcana, and if you're also into Star Wars, Friday's going to be nuts. Good luck to your bank accounts, because we've got Fallout dropping for Magic the Gathering. We've got a new set dropping for Lorcana, and then we also have Star Wars Unlimited. And Star Wars Unlimited is the starter decks, and then also their collector boot, or like
Lorcana's out.
Lorcana already dropped. I thought it came out on Friday
last week.
Oh, thank God. Oh, great. Okay, so the Lorcana fans already have their crack. So Fallout's on Friday, and then Star Wars Unlimited is also officially out on Friday as well.
Yeah, because I'm waiting until the dust settles to get my starter packs for the new Lorcana stuff. But yeah, we can go try and hunt down some Star Wars if you want.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan for Friday. I'm going to go get my Fallout decks and...
let me know. We'll take a field trip.
All right. Yeah. So news there for your TCG fans out there. You're welcome.
Also, I was
good luck
scrolling down on the memes of the Cerveza Cristal, and someone said, "Now we know how Palpatine survived."
With a beer?
On Cerveza Cristal. I love that it's gone to other movies, too. Like, there's Lord of the Rings ones now that people are making.
That's wild.
There's the Dune one with Paul and the Bene Gesserit when he reaches in the box and he pulls out a Cerveza.
He pulls out a beer?
There's one with Pepper when she's changing Tony's reactor, and she pulls out a Cerveza crystal.
Stop. Oh, God. And the thing that's funny is that now with like AI generated videos, you know, they're getting better and better. You could totally pull that shit off.
Oh,
like,
easily.
It would. Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
So good.
But yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up and talk about that. But yeah, the TCG I'm excited about. When's the Assassin's Creed decks come out for Magic?
Oh, God.
That's the one I want.
Is that next year?
Oh, the next year? Well,
is it the... Hold on, I'm looking real quick. MTG, Assassin's Creed... Assassin's Creed. Let's see, when does that come out? They showed it off, Ubisoft Original. Oh, no, it comes out in July. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, God. Yeah, okay, man, Magic's gonna be nuts, dude. Okay, so we've got Fallout. And then next month, we've got something dropping next month. And then we have Modern Horizons coming out in June. We've got this coming out in July. We've got the, April. April's the Outlaws. So that's going to be their first ever, like, getting into, like, the Wild Wild West. So that's a completely brand new world that's coming out. The following month is going to be, so that's going to be, for, I don't remember what's in May. In June is Modern Horizon 3, which is going to be, like, their big expensive stuff. So, like, they're doing collector commander decks, which is going to be like $600 for all four of them. And you can only buy them in the four pack, which sucks. But it looks really good. So Modern Horizon 3 is in June, and then July would be Assassin's Creed. In August is another one. It's a crazy time for Magic, dude. I'm so excited. But an Ezio commander deck is definitely going to happen. He has Menace. He has Assassin's Spell. You cast have free running.
Is he the only commander? Or are they doing multiple assassins?
Commanders? No. I don't even know if this. They might not do commander decks. I don't think they're doing commander decks. I think they're just going to be doing beyond booster packs and stuff for this one.
Gotcha.
I'll have to look though, because like Ezio is like he's a two mana legendary creature. So I mean, like, you could make a commander deck around him. Altair is three. He's got first strike. Ezio has, whenever Ezio deals combat damage to a player, you may pay white, blue, black, green, and red. And if that player has 10 or less life, they just lose the game, which is gross.
Is Edward a commander?
They have Altair as a legendary creature. They have Ezio as a legendary creature. They're going to have starter kits. Yeah, so there'll be a starter kit. There's an Ezio Blade of Vengeance, which is a legendary creature. They have Ivor. Which is also a legendary creature, so any of those could be commander. So you can definitely make a commander deck around these guys.
Man, I was hoping.
I don't see actual commander decks coming out. I could be wrong though.
Hoping for an Edward Kenway, was that his last name?
The guy who is the
AC4.
Yeah,
the pirate.
I'm sure they're gonna have all of them. I'm sure there's going to be. Yeah, it's gonna be the Magic the Gathering Assassin's Creed starter kit, which is $20. That'll probably give you like 260 card decks. They'll have the bundle. They'll have the Beyond boosters. They'll have the Collector boosters, but no Commander decks for this one.
Womp womp.
Nah, it'd be fine. You just make your own. Be great.
They could have fun with that. Like, you could have Connor as a commander from AC3.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I'm sure they haven't released all of the. I don't think they have an entire card list for all the cards.
You could have Haytham, who was Connor's dad, who was actually a Templar and also Edward's ancestor.
Yeah, Leonardo da Vinci from AC2. He's a legendary creature. he's an artificer.
Did you ever play the shorter DLCs, like with Adewale, who was Edward's first mate in 4? No. He had his own story of like freeing slaves and stuff.
Mm-mm.
Oh, he was fun. Did you ever play Rogue? Rogue was so much. That's where you actually play the Templar who's escaping the Templar Order.
No.
Oh my, Tim. I actually did it when I was streaming, and I did all of the games leading up to Odyssey. The only ones I couldn't do were the side scrollers. I did the first one, and then I was like, these don't stream well, so I skipped India and Russia. Do a Jacob and Evie set from AC Syndicate.
Telling you, Kevin, sky's the limit here. This is going to get a lot of more people into Magic the Gathering.
Bayek.
This is why I really hope we get a Star Wars set.
Well, they got to Marvel's next year, so they got.
Well, Marvel's going to be 2025, but they haven't announced anything else. It'd be really sick if, like, at D23, they'd be like, "And Star Wars." Like, yes.
I feel like they want to get Unlimited out of the gate first. And I saw the comment on Twitter of someone said, like, every Star Wars card game has failed before this. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's trepidation because of that. So I mean, we'll see. Tim and I are gonna give it the old college try and see how we feel about it. I like Lorcana because it's easy to play with my family. We played over the weekend. It's just easy to play with the kids, or I should say with Hunter. Gross. Jules is too small.
Yeah, if you're not making Hunter cry, then you're really not playing a TCG.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're not destroying his lands and making him question why he plays this card game, then you're really not playing.
I mean, I won and. He learned the hard way not to hold out your ink for certain cards and to keep playing cards over and over again.
Very good.
But Magic's a little bit too intimidating for him. I know you taught Amy how to play, though, which I think is pretty cool.
Amy and I play. Yeah, it's kind of like there's nights where like, what do you want to do? I'm like, I don't want to play Magic. Fuck yeah, let's go.
So, all right, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Dark Disciple and the two episodes of Bad Batch, episodes 4 and 5, season 3. Be right back.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back.
We are back.
We're back. Dark Disciples, awesome. Just like I know, I talked about it on Twitter. I like Quinlan Vos fell in love with Ventress. I didn't know that was a character that I was like, damn, she's cool. But the more that I learned about Ventress, and the more that like we actually like got to interact with her, and she's not just like this cowardice bad guy that kind of like shows up and then like runs away. It's like, damn you meddling kids. You know, it's just like, she was cool. Like she really had some substance to her. She felt relatable. She felt human. Quinlan.
I didn't know she was a Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing is like, you get like a really good backstory of Ventress. And then like, it really hits home with like all the shit that she went through with Dooku.
More importantly,
and you can understand why she went with Dooku is because like, she felt betrayed by the Order because her master died and no one came to save her. So she felt betrayed, just like a bunch of other people who end up turning against the Order. Look at High Republic. That's 100% the theme in High Republic. Is that these Jedi are getting thrown out into the unknown and fighting against the, you know, unbelievable odds, and the Order is being high and mighty and pious in the background, and so people feel left out, or they feel abandoned. They feel like the things that they've been taught about the Force is a lie and a scam. And so you can see it's really fun to see this the other side of the coin, and I really liked that a lot. And seeing Quinlan really tiptoe on this interesting line of like, are you balanced in the Force, or like, do you go too far, him feeling betrayed and lied to. It was just so good. It was a fantastic book from start to finish. I was very, very impressed.
I want to know how a Dathomir witch becomes a Jedi.
Well, no, she was a Jedi who became a Dathomirian witch.
No, but isn't she Dathomirian by... Isn't that what she was born into?
Yeah, but I don't think she would... But she didn't go through any of... She might have been born of Dathomir, but I don't think she was a daughter of Dathomir.
How did the Jedi get their hands on someone from Dathomir?
I don't know. That's a pretty good question.
That's my question. The other thing I want to know is she obviously dies at the end because... Dooku kills her, and they transport her body to Coruscant, and then they dress her up, and then they take her body from Coruscant to Dathomir. Obi-Wan and Quinlan go with her. What's interesting, too, is the way they describe the dark side at the end, almost in harmony with the Force. Like, Obi-Wan's able to reach out and feel the dark side on Dathomir, but it feels different than when they encounter... Dooku.
Because I don't remember who talks about it, but there's a line somewhere that talks about how the dark side is twisted. And it's like yin and yang, but like it's that balance and they live harmoniously. But the Sith, they like Dooku and the Emperor, they take that and they twist it and torment it and use it to their will instead of being under like a part of it, if that makes sense. There's one of the books they talk about that. I don't know if it's in High Republic or not, but there is definitely a whole thing where they talk about the dark side of the Force being twisted and tormented and being used against its will. So like that, I think that's why like Dathomir feels different, because it's something that they're harmoniously be a part of. They understand that it's living in balance with it.
It's interesting. And it does.
It is interesting.
It does kind of. I can't believe this book came out in 2015, and I'd never even heard of it.
And it wasn't even an actual book. It was taken from a bunch of they were episodes of Clone Wars that weren't created. It was just like from the desk of Dave Filoni, which I think is crazy.
Wasn't it George Lucas's daughter who wrote them?
I thought they were just scripts that Dave wrote out that they were. Doesn't it say on the book? Doesn't it say like?
I remember a forward in there, and it sounded like George Lucas's daughter was the one who wrote them.
Well, then that's sick if she wrote those. Did she write them with Dave?
I'm sure Dave was involved.
Let's see. It says New York Times bestselling author Christy Golden, based on unproduced episodes of Star Wars: The Clone Wars, includes a note by Katie Lucas.
Yeah.
Read by Mark Thompson. Yeah.
Yeah. So Katie Lucas was the one that wrote the story.
That's cool.
And then Dave adapted it, and then Christy Golden turned into it. But Christy Golden writes a bunch of the Warcraft books and stuff, so I'm familiar with her work.
She's great.
Mm-hmm.
She's done other Star Wars stuff, too.
Yep. She's done other Star Wars stuff. She's very, very steeped in nerd culture. Yeah.
Speaking of episodes,
were written by Katie Lucas, head writer Matt Mikonevitz, and series supervising director Dave Filoni. So all three of them
got it.
We were all right.
Hooray! In other Star Wars book news, Defy the Storm just came out.
Oh, it's out?
It's out. It came out yesterday.
I'm never going to finish these Thrawn books then, ever.
You're going to have to wait on Thrawn, I think.
What is it?
Yeah, Defy the Storm just came out yesterday. This one is, I'm bringing up the details. This one was written by Tessa Grattan and Justin Ireland.
This might be young adult, though, Tim.
For Light and Life, 1 year after the fall of Starlight Beacon, the galaxy is in chaos. An anarchist group known as the Nihil has taken over this section of space, now known as the Occlusion Zone. Jedi Knight Vernestra Rowe and scientist Avon Staros team up in an attempt to find a way through the Nihil Stormwall to save those on the other side. But what are in the Nihil's real plans? And what of the nameless creatures that can destroy the Jedi Order? The battle has just begun.
This might be young adult. I'm going to read it anyway, but
I don't know. It's narrated by Amber Lee. It doesn't. It doesn't have the same like young adult. Oh, it might be young adult though.
Well, I just bought it, so
I got the credit. I had a bunch of credits, and Audible was like, "You have a credit that's going to expire soon." And I was like, "All right, we'll use it on this one."
I didn't even know they expire.
They don't usually. They're not supposed to. I thought Audible and Amazon said they were no longer going to do that, but I think I have too many credits.
Also, I went to go do Game of Thrones again for the first book.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I read it years ago. I had jury duty once, and I blasted through three of them. I haven't read the last one.
I fell asleep listening to the first one.
So I go, I'm like, all right, let me see if I can listen to the first one. And I go to download it. And in comparison, just so you, in comparison, Dark Disciple was 15 hours. Most of the books for the High Republic range anywhere from 12 to 15 hours of when you're doing an audiobook. Some of them are shorter, like Tales of Light and Life, which I know there's one listener that is begging us to read it. It's only 7.5 hours. Game of Thrones book one is 33 hours and 46 minutes.
Yeah.
Now I have to look. What's Fellowship? Fellowship is only 22 hours and 38 minutes compared to Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, it opens up with just so much backstory. Like, you have to, there's so much setup in it. It's a lot.
I know, I like that shit. And House of the Dragon comes out in June, season two, so.
So good.
They're good. Freaking.
What's that?
House of the Dragon's going toe to toe Rings of Power is going toe to toe with House of the Dragon again. I'm like, why do you keep doing that? Everyone's going
Amazon
to
hates,
like
Game Amazon of Thrones. Hates Lord of the Rings.
Everyone is going to hate. Oh god. Anyway. So stupid.
Anyways, but speaking of TV shows, I think we should just jump into
Bad
Batch.
Let's do it.
All right. So episode 4.
Also, before we do that, have you heard the videos where someone used AI to recreate the Clone Wars narrator narrating over Helldivers videos?
Yes. Yes. I love it. He pops up in my feed at least once a week.
So good.
Problem on Malevolent Creek.
The automatons.
War has erupted.
The automatons are pushing back the front and the brave soldiers of Super Earth.
So good. It's just like, oh, it's Wolf. Wolf's here. Yularen's here.
I do love that they're also in Helldivers. There, the story is now taking place because now that weird transmission came through that Super Earth lied to us, and the Illuminate are still out there. I'm like, here we go. Joel's gonna shit on all of us now.
Oh, there's so many. We could do an entire Helldivers episode if you wanted to.
I just want to talk I just want to talk about Joel, but Ben needs to be here if we're going to talk about Joel. Anyway, continue.
Anyways, episode 4, Omega and Crosshair escape, which was, it was good. It was nice. It was good to see like that Crosshair was able to kind of suck it up and push his ego aside and understand that he had a mission to get done.
Hey, I would just like to say, if I could gamble, lose, and get all my money back, I would gamble all the time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that this guy is like, let's throw it down and I would like to have my money back at the end. Good job. Like, I hated that guy by the end and I'm so glad he got it. I'm so glad that he was eaten.
By what?
The freaking, what are the things that roll around in death balls in episode 7? I can't think of the name right now.
Oh, ask your son. He knows all about them.
Kyler would know, and he's not here. scary shit. Lots of eyes, teeth.
Is that what ate him?
Anyways, I'm assuming that's what ate him. Like, that was the only thing that made sense
to
me.
Wrath-tar.
Wrath-tars. Wrath-tars? Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure it was a Wrath-tar. That ate him, which was great. I think he deserved it. And then I definitely teared up at the end when Omega gets to Wrecker and the Hunter.
Yes.
That was really cute. And the cold cut right at the end when Crosshair comes down the ramp, I was like, ooh, shit's gonna get bad.
Then
we get an episode 5 today, which was great because we get back with Echo, and then like almost the whole gang's back together again.
No hug for me.
I liked that. I loved how everyone was still kind of like standoffish, and by the end, like, they realized like what happened. Like, I think Crosshair like made a good. He made a good point. He was just trying to be a good soldier. He was it was hard. And then, but like when he said like they screwed me over, you know, like they betrayed me. So I betrayed them. Like that was. It was dirty. Like, at the end of the day, I think he recognized that what he did was dirty, and I think he was just trying to survive, and I still feel for Crosshair. Like, there's still a part of me like where I'm like, shit, dude, like, I get it. Like, through the entire time, like, I never really was mad at Crosshair. I was just kind of disappointed.
He was hiding behind his sarcasm up until that last part where he told Hunter that he had killed an Imperial officer.
And yeah, that whole pushing and shoving part was really good too, because it kind of like it showed that it wasn't just one sided. And I'm glad they showed that. There was more to the equation than it was just all on Crosshair. It was on Hunter too.
Yeah, no, and it was good to showcase that, because Crosshair obviously. I would say Crosshair's already redeemed himself, but I don't think he's redeemed himself in his own eyes.
No, not at all.
So
no, he's got demons to fight. And it wouldn't surprise me if there is like a sacrificial moment.
I don't. Yeah. Again, like who's making it out of this show? Because this is the final season.
Mm-hmm.
Omega is probably the only one that has to live out of all of them.
If she survives, it's going to be wild. Because then I'm going to be like, well, what happened to her after the fact? Like, does she show up in the Book of Boba Fett? Like, I've got so many questions then.
She could show up in Jedi, whatever the next game is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Easily. She could show up in that. So, I don't know. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what happens with Quinlan and Asajj.
I want to know what happens there. How does she come back? She's got to get resurrected. There's got to be she comes back to life. And the only time that I could think that ever happens is when all of the Night Sisters get resurrected, when that happens in Jedi Fallen Order.
Most of them are gone at this point.
What do you mean?
Most of the Night Sisters are gone. This is after.
No, they're all dead.
They're not all dead, because we meet what's-her-face, Meryn. Later.
Well, she's there. I mean, I'm talking about like when Meryn like resurrects everybody to defend Dathomir against what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of it right now. Do you think like she came back from that spell? Like I don't know. I'm like there's got to be a time. Like if she died in the book, and this happens before the fall of the Republic, we're past that point.
What
in
if?
Bad Batch?
What if?
So she's got to be a zombie, right?
What if?
Uh-huh.
Quinlan learned how to use the Force to manipulate midichlorians.
Oh, no. He went super. But that's like an Emperor level shit. That's.
But what if he figured it out and Anakin couldn't?
Oh,
that's the wrong one. Oh, you know, that's some dark side.
He would, based on how that book ended, that man would do anything to bring her back.
I will do anything for love.
Yeah, based on how that, and now he doesn't have the council to answer to, so he's kind of more free to.
He's wild as shit right now.
Yeah, he's more of the. I know people hate the term, but he's more of that gray Jedi now than he's ever been.
Oh, very much so, and I love how Mace is being all like high and mighty, like I would never do any of things like that.
Lion
like,
sack of shit,
you son of a bitch! You lie. You would definitely love the dark side. You sip on it for lunch.
That's why Yoda is even like, chill, bro. Like we know, we know what you get up to. He's like, we've all done it. It's like it's like weed before it was legal.
Yeah.
It's like, chill. We've all done it. We've all tried it. And, you know, it's just calm down. It's just stay on your side.
This is the one thing I hate so much about the Jedi Council. They're just like, we need to go assassinate this guy. It's like, but how dare you touch the dark side? And just
yeah, like, what did you expect him to do if you're asking him to kill someone, which is completely against the Jedi teachings in and of itself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, killing someone in cold blood for no reason. Well, I guess that was the gray area. Was it no reason? You know, Mace's whole thing, like, we can save more lives than.
Yeah.
But was that really what Mace wanted, or Mace want a little bit of that Sith blood?
I think he just yearned for it.
So, yeah. By the end, I felt very bad for Quinlan. Quinlan was always like the badass on the up and up, and now I'm like.
Very much so.
I'm like, damn, dude.
You got shit on, though.
Oh, yeah.
But that happens. Like, I hate how he just got turned into an asset, and they were just so ready to throw him away.
Except Obi-Wan.
Like, they wanted to kill him after the fact. And it's just like, it's like a horse that broke its leg, you know? Instead of rehabbing it, we're just going to put it down.
Also.
Like, that was sad.
And I know that's new for you and me, not for everyone else. But also, like, we can just put that as the rock on the very delicate pyramid that is Obi-Wan's trauma that he has to deal with throughout his life.
Oh, my God. So much trauma. And, like. And now, like, the whole, like, him being so happy when he found out that Quinlan was still alive.
So much sense.
Makes so much more sense now. I didn't realize how close they were.
That's his boy.
That's his dude. Like, that's his buddy. And so it's like, I would love to see them reunited. Like, if we get an Obi-Wan season two, I really hope they get to meet up. Like, that would be so awesome.
Quinlan's got to be in it. And then also the comic relief you'd get from that.
Oh, yeah, it'd be so good.
It would be
the Jedi hippie showing up.
And it would also be throwback to him with Anakin, you know, when Anakin rushes into things without thinking and he's, you know, rolls his eyes and then follows him. So I think it would be good. But yeah, man, I don't know how they're going to bring her back. My honest to God guess is that Quinlan is involved and somehow figured something out to bring her back, or in some way found Night Sisters that were alive and were like, resurrect her, you know.
I mean, for all we know, this plays into what Dave is doing with Thrawn.
I'm sure it does.
Could it explain the sarcophaguses that they're bringing from the other galaxy here?
What if that's it? What if that's how they repopulate?
That's
Dathomir?
What I'm saying is, like, what if we end up getting like you know, in Daredevil in the Marvel universe, they have that the chamber that brings people back to life, or in DC,
it's the Lazarus Pit.
The Lazarus Pit. Like, what if that is something that's only on Dathomir, and that's why? Oh my God. Okay, so if we know that Ventress comes back, because we saw her in the show trailer, but we know that she dies, and we know that we have all these these Dathomirian witches that are bringing all of these sarcophagi. I'm just going to sarcophagi. Whatever. Someone will correct me. The plural of one sarcophagus. They're bringing them all over on the ship to Dathomir specifically.
Sarcophagus.
There's got it.
You could do either one. It's sarcophagi or sarcophagi. You were right both times. Keep going. Sorry.
Excellent. Look at me. Thank you, Kevin. So they're bringing all the sarcophagi over. Then they're gonna resurrect them. It's gotta be something on Dathomir. And this season again might give us I tweeted this. I was like, this is gonna tell us what Dave is doing with Ahsoka.
I mean,
this is going to be a tie-in.
It already informed us on Project Necromancer, so why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I mean, so like, I think we're going to get some stuff here that might really help shed some light as to what we're going to expect with Thrawn in the next season of Ahsoka. So, yeah,
everyone's really curious to find out what happens to Dr. Hemlock too, because at some point Dr. Hemlock is no longer working on this, and then at some point Dr. Pershing's going to take over. And then after Dr. Pershing, Gideon either took it over before Dr. Pershing, got a hold of the research, you know, because when they're in the Shadow Council meeting.
Oh, Shadow Council. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Project Necromancer is supposed to be run by Grendel Hux.
Yes.
So at some point, they're doing that. Gideon's doing his thing. Who else got access to this and is trying to make themselves live forever through clones or something like that?
I mean, like, we don't know what kind of struggle for power there was as the Empire was falling. I mean, like, the ISB could have like taken things and like started spreading it out. Like, I don't know. Like, there could have been so many things that happened on Coruscant during the fall of the Empire.
Yeah. So there's lots of questions to be answered there on the resurrection from the Night Sister thing, which I actually love. You mentioned the Lazarus Pit. Lazarus Pit's interesting because when you go into the Lazarus Pit and you come out, you are resurrected, but you always lose a little bit of yourself every time you go in, which is why Ra's al Ghul starts to really become more insane the more he gets.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's a price, if that's what
there
we're
could
doing.
Be, most definitely.
What's
yeah.
the price? Because the dark side doesn't do anything for free. That's where my head is
no,
at.
No, it always takes something. Yeah, for sure.
So
life for a life.
Yeah. So what would it be? And what did it take? And did Quinlan have to do something terrible to bring her back?
Oh, this gets so good. Love theory crafting.
Dave's listening to this like, shit, we should have put this in the show. Not really. He's probably got a good.
He doesn't know who we are, Kevin, please.
He listens every week.
Awesome if they did. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Hire us. We would love to be writers. You should. That should be the hire Tim and Kevin hashtag for Lucasfilm. If y'all want to,
that was really good. Yeah.
If y'all want to do that, that'd be awesome. We could use a change of scenery at the Skywalker Ranch. I wonder if he has to do something horrible to bring her back, which he would do.
Most definitely.
Based on that book.
He got his pee-pee touched. He is head over heels.
That's all it takes.
All it takes, dude. Just a little force grabbing.
A little tug there and rub. You think you could give a hand job with the force?
Oh, 100%.
It's like,
dude, she taught him how to force choke.
Through
yeah,
the pants.
Of course.
Oh, she probably does a little light force choke, too.
Yeah.
Well, a little life force choke for you.
And this episode of Star Wars and Scotch After Dark is brought to you by
Adam and Eve. No, not really.
Adam and Eve.
Anywho. Well, I mean, that's it for Bad Batch. Let's see. I think, when is the next double? 7 and 8? Three schedule. Let's see. I think 7 and 8 is the next double episode. No, next week is a double episode. 6 and 7.
Jeez.
Oh, it's called...
they're just...
It's called Infiltration and Extraction. Does that mean they're going to figure out where Tantus is? Or are we saving that for the end?
I think they're going to go try to save all the clones from Tantus because they talk about how many clone prisoners there are.
The last, like,
there's more than we thought.
The last 5 episode names, Tim. Point of No Return.
Oh, shit.
Juggernaut.
Oh, boy.
Into the Breach.
Oh, no.
Flash Strike.
These names are awesome.
And The Cavalry Has Arrived is the final episode.
Ooh.
Which to me is okay. The beginning of the rebellion.
So what if they save all of the clones that are left over, and those clones are what is the beginning of the starting force for the rebellion?
Which would make sense that Rex would then be at the Battle of Endor.
Is at the Battle of Endor.
Which I believe they jokingly canonized.
I think they did.
So that would actually explain away Rex. It would explain Rex in Rebels when we meet him. And then it would explain why he looks like that. And then obviously a few years later, he would be in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Gonna be good.
Yeah, but those are the last 5 episodes. Next week is Infiltration and the second one is Extraction. So that sounds like Tantus to me.
Me too. Yeah, I fully agree with that. 100%.
The two in between are Bad Territory is episode 8 and The Harbinger is episode 9. The Harbinger, isn't that a ship?
I mean, yes, it's been a ship. Star Wars Harbinger. Let me look. Oh, yeah, it's the Harbinger is the big... it's the one that's got the big fin in the front.
Yeah,
it's
that's like a, from the it's like old
a, it's like a, it's a, it's a ramming ship. Yeah. Yeah. Harbinger. The Harbinger is a Sith dreadnought. It's an Imperial I-class Star Destroyer used by the Galactic Empire, hijacked by the Alliance to restore the Republic. A Harbinger it's a Tector class. It's been used a few times in Star Wars. In canon, it is an Imperial I-class Star Destroyer.
That means we're going to be on a ship after.
Let me see. It's an Imperial class Star Destroyer. Costs 150 million credits to make.
Do you think we see the Emperor again before the show's over?
Yes, for sure. There's no way that he only shows up in that one.
You think he'll be the person who kills Hemlock?
Oh my god.
You have failed me for the last time, Professor Hemlock.
The Harbinger, the 9th episode of Star Wars Bad Batch, 3rd season. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it'll and then the Harbinger is also a Hammerhead class, but that is not in I'm looking at it right. The Harbinger was a Hammerhead class cruiser that served the Galactic Republic shortly after the Jedi Civil War. Originally assigned to patrol Republic space and deal with the local troubles, the Harbinger was sent in 3951 BBY to the Outer Rim territories to pick up the Jedi Exile and ferry her to Telos IV. When the Harbinger diverted its course to investigate the battle between a Sith warship and a light freighter, it was captured by Sith under command of the Sith Lord Darth Sion. Sion took control of the vessel and piloted it to Paragus II in search of the Exile, who had been abducted off the ship during the earlier crisis. Surik and her companions were forced to travel through the vessel to reach their own ship, and when they attempted to flee, the Harbinger opened fire. In the ensuing fight, the volatile Paragus asteroid field was destroyed, with the Harbinger caught in the middle of the explosion. So that Harbinger died. That is no longer. So it's going to be, if the Harbinger, if they're keeping to that name, it will be a Star Destroyer that we go to. So they might have to infiltrate a Star Destroyer at some point.
Okay.
Or it's just an ambiguous name that they're just using.
Well, it sounds like they're going to be doing a lot of covert operations. We still haven't seen
all
Rex
of all too. Of those names sound like they all sound like operation names that you like operation like Sword and Shield, you know, like shit like that. It sounds really cool.
I think it's going to be the clone basically insurgency for the rest of the season, as you're going to see, mm-hmm. especially because we haven't seen Rex yet. Rex is probably leading clones like attacking Imperial outposts and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that would mean that between Solo and this, we would know that the rebellion was started by all people that were obviously disgruntled and Andor. People that were disgruntled, but also the clones then would have played a very large role in starting the rebellion too, which is kind of cool because we always thought the clones were just stormtroopers. So this
You're right.
rewrites that whole idea that the clones are catalysts to starting the rebellion. They're not. Because how many years? 20 years we thought the clones were just the stormtroopers?
Yes.
Basically until the new trilogy came out.
Yeah, we assumed that that's what they were.
I like that. I think they had to pivot when Dave humanized the clones in Clone Wars.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
Because they were kind of just mindless.
I like the idea of keeping them as just like the good guys. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Because they even talk about how more and more clones are starting to like the Order 66 chip is wearing off and failing. So for them to be like, what the hell? Like, we're the good guys. Like, that totally makes sense.
So... last question before we get out of here. Is the Death Trooper reveal still on the table?
I don't know. I really don't know. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think failed experiments could become the Death Troopers. The ones who couldn't take the MCAT.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, I agree 100%. There were so many tests that happened. I wouldn't be surprised if... they were just the
just imagine
they were failed experiments.
Hemlock being like, you know, like we can make something from nothing here. The necrosis set in, but I've stabilized it, and you know they speak a coded language. And because even if you notice when they in, I think it was the end of last season, because Hunter just caught up, when all of the Imperial officers are together with Governor Tarkin, mm-hmm. they don't have Death Troopers guarding them. It's just those elite stormtroopers,
right?
So I have a feeling Hemlock's going to suggest at some point, like, I have the solution to our security problem or something, like maybe an Imperial officer, because Crosshair killed the Imperial officer.
Right.
So now Hemlock can be like, I have the solution. You know, we'll use their own men against them, like that type of thing, which would then canonize the fact that the clones that didn't make it out are now the Death Troopers that we see guarding the Imperial officers all throughout the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like the mountain in Game of Thrones being kept alive.
Yeah, they're just Frankenstein's monsters.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think honestly that it makes so much sense because we're getting close to the time of the Death Star being built, and we know that the
Krennic.
The Death Troopers show up. They are introduced in Rogue One. So for them to be for the program to start and then starting to trickle in right around this time makes a lot of sense.
And they last all the way through Mandalorian because we see them in Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. We don't see them in the sequel trilogy, though. So they
because they were just those. The ones that are there were the remnants of whatever was left that were given to the Moffs.
Right. So. They die at some point. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
Well, we're going to get out of here. Make sure you head over to Tim's YouTube channel, his Twitch channel. It's Darkness429. You can follow him, Darkness429, everywhere on the internet. I'm Kevin Exhibition on Twitter and KMagic101 on Twitch, YouTube, and everywhere else.
So if you streaming?
I'm streaming today and Friday.
So make sure you lock it in over on Kevin's Twitch or YouTube or TikTok, Facebook on Friday, or if you're, you know, if next Wednesday. Lock it on in.
Yeah, that's
get fun. In there.
Yeah.
Drop a prime, you know, follow, say hey. Hi. Tell them how much you love Star Wars and Scotch. Tell them about GCX that you're coming. All right.
Please tell me you're coming to GCX. That would make me very happy. But we are Star Wars and Scotch. You can follow us, Star Wars Scotch, Star Wars and Scotch, everywhere on the internet. And we will be covering Bad Batch Season 3 all the way through. Next week's going to be Episodes 5 and 6. So the infiltration and the extraction. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, Tim?
And the Force be with you.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.